She's ungrateful, she's deceitful, she's irrational. All we've got here is a manipulative little girl who is spoiled rotten to the core.
I can't listen to this anymore.
But enough about you two. What about Brenda? This is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210 edition. Today's episode is Season 3, Episode 2, The Twins, The Trustee, and The Very Big Trip.
He did it!
Thanks. Now here are your hosts, Tara Ariano and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hello, Sarah.
I like how the bar is now Dave got through the episode title.
This one really was a Dave Twister, though, I would say.
Mm. All right. Great. All right.
Well, now that we've said this enormously long title, let's get into this enormously clip-heavy episode. Starting with the C story, which I call Baby versus Europe. So as you will remember from the end of the last episode, Jackie had her baby. And so when we open this one, David is at the hospital filming baby Aaron Silver. It is a girl through the glass in the whatever nursery. And even though Jake, when he was still on the show, as opposed to just discussed endlessly off screen, predicting that Kelly was going to melt as soon as the baby came along, she gives lie to his predictions by referring to Aaron consistently as it, which is kind of funny. As an older sibling, me and Sarah both can relate, I'm sure. So later, Donna is moping about having her last beach club burger before they leave for France. Kelly exposits that they're not leaving for 3 days, but Donna says she has a lot to do, like pack. And Kelly acts like it's weird that Donna hasn't packed 3 days out, which is crazy. Like, I know they're going for 6 weeks or something, but packing never takes as long as you think it will. And packing 3 days early is weird. What do you think?
Totally agree. Mm-hmm. Maybe make a list.
Yeah, list is different, but actually, like, physically starting to pack, like, do that the day before you leave. Anything else is very strange. Whatever. Anyway, Donna is once again back to trying to come up with reasons not to go. David encourages her to go and have fun, and then Cindy rolls up to congratulate Kelly on her new sister and ask how everyone is doing. We will cut back to that conversation later. Then back at the Taylor Mance, Donna is calling to ask to borrow some travel bag from Jackie because, as if Donna wouldn't have 7,000 pieces of luggage, whatever.
Seriously.
Donna's still in a tizzy based on Kelly's half of the conversation. And then Kelly is impressed to see that Jackie is actually breastfeeding the baby. Jackie offers to let Kelly hold her, and Kelly is slightly wary but takes her and then makes a baby duck face, which is cute because we all do it. Even if we're not into babies, it's impossible to hold a baby and not make stupid faces. You can see Kelly's in the visual aids. And then in the middle of the night, Jackie comes in to check on Aaron and finds Kelly already handling it. Kelly has been sitting there watching her for 6 hours like a fucking weirdo, as we hear in clip number two.
When I was rocking her and she looked up at me, it was like I started thinking, this is the miracle of life. Ugh. I'm holding the perfect essence of the universe right here in my arm.
All right.
It's getting a little philosophical for 4:30 in the morning.
Thank you, Jackie.
Just hear me out, because what really blows me away, look at her. She looks exactly like me.
Yes, she does.
That's because she's my sister.
Uh-huh.
You're my mom.
Uh-huh.
This is my family.
Got it.
I'm a major part of it for the very first time in my life. I don't want to miss any part of that. And that's why I'm not going away for the summer.
Kelly, what are you saying?
I've already been to Europe 3 times. I don't need to be sent away to find myself. What I need to do is stay here, where I belong. Huh. You think so too, don't you?
Doesn't care, baby. Go to France.
At least for once, Kelly's baby voice is being done at an actual baby.
Yeah, that is true. It's still soul searing.
Oh, it's gross. It's super gross. I don't buy this transformation for a second, but we have to for story purposes, so ugh, fine.
Yeah, let's just march through it.
Indeed. So the next day, Brenda is at Dylan's watching a daytime talk show when someone rings the doorbell. It is Donna and Kelly. Brenda greets them with a bonjour, and Donna immediately launches into stuff, starting to bawl, which you can see in the visual aids. Later, Donna has apparently just explained that Kelly is blowing her off and is already whining about it. Kelly is deciding not to take the trip without there being enough time for Felice to get her deposit back, so Donna has to go. And they discuss this in clip number 3.
I can't spend a whole summer in Paris by myself.
Donna, you'll meet people. You'll make friends. I mean, you'll be in Paris. La ville de la lumière. La ville des jolies poules.
Well, it's easy for you to say you speak French.
Un petit peu.
No. That's not French.
La ville?
La ville? No. And I don't even know what the second thing is that she says. Like, I seriously cannot understand her. And I took French immersion for 9 years. Like, I actually can't speak French. That was terrible. It's so mean that they couldn't have picked a language that Shannon Doherty actually speaks to try and make her seem like she's fluent, because, yeah, oof.
Now you say you speak French, Tara.
I do. But, I mean, I can. Well, I don't speak it all the time, but my accent is better than that.
All right.
If I had her dialogue, I
think Tara's fake French accent would be better than Brenda's also, but we will get there. So will Reek.
Reek. from Supergirl. On the Supergirl Network. Kelly and Brenda try to buck up Donna about the trip. Donna jokingly, but not really, suggests that Brenda could come with her. And Brenda says she can't really ask her parents to send her when they're not speaking. But Kelly notes that there's more to it than that for Brenda. And we hear that also grossly in clip number 4. Kelly's really gross in this episode.
Yeah, and plus you'd have to leave Dylan. What about me? I'm leaving David.
Oh, this is different. Brenda and Dylan are living together. They're making a statement. A beautiful statement.
What? I don't even understand what that means. I mean, leaving aside, like, they're living together. Like, okay, she's been staying there for 3 nights. Let's be careful with our nomenclature.
Which is
here.
About 15 nights too long for the master of the house.
Seriously.
And his burritos.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, a beautiful statement. Shut up, Kelly. Like, I don't know why you suddenly, if your brain has melted since you met your sister, but get it together. Later, Donna has come to the beach to mope about leaving for Europe the day after tomorrow. Now she wants to bring David, but he has to go to summer school so that he can graduate with the gang. So that's the first we hear about that happening.
Because they can't have anyone be a junior ever again.
No. Donna defends Kelly for having baby fever, which, whatever, she's all alone on that one. Later, Kelly's on the phone with Brenda, telling her all about giving Aaron her bottle at 4 a.m. as if Brenda cares. No one cares about your feeding schedule, parents. I'm just telling you this as a friend. No one cares. Also, the fact that the baby is nursing and also getting bottles means, I guess, no one had heard of nipple confusion in the 90s. But we'll pick back up with this when it becomes part of Brenda's storyline. Anon. Moving on to the B story, which I call "And Twins."
Oh God! So. I really that we're dignifying this is I feel probably not great, but
I know, but we have to.
But Stud Mania is out of control. There's
that's why, we can Sarah. That's why we have to do it. All right. After so much of the same exact B-roll that we saw 500 times in season 2, including B-roll that was in the opening credits, Steve comes upon a cute girl trying to unfold a beach chair, and he calls her chair a write-off and directs her to where he's sitting, and then they meet cute in clip 5.
I'm Steve Sanders.
Hi, Steve. I'm Rory.
Yes, you are.
What?
Yeah.
Okay. Steve's sex voice makes me extremely uncomfortable. Like, it was hard for me to sit still even through those 3 words.
Steve is so barely dressed in this entire episode. Like, almost not a shirt to be seen. And the shorts that he chooses are for, I mean, I know he's on the beach, like, whatever. And, like, we see a lot of his fucking shaved chest and pepperoni nipples, whatever. But he also is in these shorts that I swear are running shorts because they're like split on the side, right? So anyway, he's
and a cycling cap, which is
right.
Bigger than the shorts, and a mullet, which is bigger than both of them together. But like, there are several, we've clipped this sort of thing for the visual aids before.
Yeah.
this summer is by far the worst, that you really think, like, the head of little Steve is going to flap out at any moment. It's like, what is going on? Yeah. So the tank top is, like, macrame. I mean, it's not actual macrame,
no,
but it's about as substantial.
There just are problems, so many problems. Anyway, so...
And actually, can I just ask one more question?
Of course.
Since the twins in question are pretty terrible actors, even for this show, were these people famous for something else, or this was just the best twins they could get on the casting call who were actually kind of cute?
I think the latter. I believe I've seen them act in other things. I mean, in quotes, act. But yeah, I don't think that they were already famous like the girls on Double Trouble or anything.
Oh, okay.
That's my recollection. I'm sure someone can correct us if they knew them from some other thing that we don't know about. Maybe they were like kid stars that we didn't know because we were slightly too old. I have no idea.
I don't either. I guess I could look it up. So let's continue while I'm doing that.
Brandon comes to the aid of a girl who's been locked out of her cabana. She sure looks exactly like the girl that Steve was talking to, except with her hair brushed out. And then Brandon comes from this interaction to brag to a weirdly shirtless Steve about his conquest to be, and in honor of Steve's weird shirtlessness, be weird about it in clip six.
Steve, want to hear a poem I just wrote?
No.
Do I have a choice? Nope. Here it is. Don't look now. The summer has begun. The babes have landed. And guess who just landed one? All right. Stud mania out of control.
I don't know if you want to keep that one and clip out just stud mania out of control.
Stud mania is out of control.
Also out of control, the gum champing the poem.
Yes, and also in the visual aids, you can see a picture that I sent to Sarah with the file name Steve Basically Nude, because he's in these tiny shorts and he's like sitting in a chair reading a newspaper, and like for a second, it almost looks like he's like, you know, a nudist in a TV show, like just barely hiding his junk. It's just, it's so much Steve. Anyway, Steve says that he also just met a girl who's also only in town for a week before going to Florida, back to Florida. Steve points to the girl that we've been watching and asks if that's Brandon's girl, and it is, and blah, blah, blah. Long story short, there are two girls and they are twins. So Steve proposes a double date, and then it's time for the double date. Steve has a gross and also nonsensical idea in clip number 7.
Today we do everything like we planned. I'm with Rory, you're with Claire. We hang out, we go to the movies. But tomorrow, we pull the old switcheroo. I'll be with Claire and you be with Rory. How does that grab you?
I don't know, Steve.
Brandon, come on. This is pure fantasy island time. Two for the price of one. That way, if one of them turns out to be a dud, neither one of us has to suffer. Wait a second. Didn't you go out with Rory last night? Yeah. What, was it a total disaster? Oh, no, no, no. She's a great girl. She's tons of fun.
Uh-huh. What?
But we spent most of the evening in the emergency room at Cedars. She thought she had food poisoning. They didn't pump her stomach or anything, but what a way to get acquainted. Who the hell goes to a crab house and orders squid? You know?
Squid mania is out of control.
So a couple of things. First of all, this is not how a twin switcheroo happens. The twins have to do the switching.
Thank you. Jesus.
There's some stupid twins.
Second of all, to update on the actresses who played Rory and Claire.
Yes.
This could have been way worse because they're actually members of a set of identical triplets.
Oh.
Not sure what became of the other one. Mm. Just sea captain who drowned. I don't know. The other two seem to have been working actresses, but nothing super recent that I could see. And
oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
The other thing is, like, Steve, if you went out with this girl and you're not into her, how about just don't date her? Like, I don't understand, other than, you know, just for the story of what is the point of trying to date her sister after you date her. Like, you don't like her. That could be the end of the story.
Also, she's probably mortified anyway, so.
Yeah.
No. Don't be such a squeef.
Seriously.
Squid.
Don't be just such a squeed. Later, Claire comes out of the cabana to report on Rory's health, which, by the way, if you're sick, maybe don't come to the beach club that day. Just saying. And that night, Steve and his date, who I guess is still Rory, are on the beach while she makes a bunch of faces that are meant to communicate some kind of upset, but I have no idea what. You can consult the gifts and let us know. Steve tries to go in for a kiss, and then she claims it's sinus pain. So I don't, whatever. This is a lot of stuff. Steve is annoyed. The next day, Steve reiterates his switch plan. Brandon tells Steve to ask Claire out if he wants to ask her out, but that Brandon is not going to be part of Steve's greedy twin plan, and he's sure the girls won't go along with it either. Cut to Steve on his flip phone, successfully making a plan with Claire. And then it's time for the double date. Brandon, as a twin, says he has ethical problems with the switcheroo, but it's too late because here come Rory and Claire and their matching rompers. Brandon tells Steve to go out with Claire, and Brandon will beg off the date with Rory. Steve directs one of the girls to Brandon, and Brandon starts to go into his whole rap, but quickly realizes that she is Claire. There is going to be a twin switcheroo, but that Steve is going to be the one getting a lesson taught to him, and Brandon is with it. And Steve suggests going up to his mom's cabana to watch the sunset. Rory Claire agrees. And then Steve starts putting the moves on Rory Claire, tragically, as we hear in clip number 8.
Wait till you taste my patented Mucho Marvelous Mango Margaritas.
Continuity.
Hey, if you're going to be drinking, I don't want to be driving with you.
Well, in that case, we'll just have to stay here all night.
That ought to be interesting.
Not really.
I've wanted to do that since I first saw you.
Hey, didn't you say the same thing to Rory the night you took her to the crab house?
No, Rory and I had nothing going on. She's a good sport. She's boring.
That's her sister, as far as he knows.
Yeah. She's not nearly as hot or sexy as you are.
She's nearly?
Let's do it. Let's go for it. Come on, Claire.
I'm not Claire, you dumb guy. I'm Rory.
What?
You are such a slimy seal. You couldn't even tell the difference.
Okay, two things. You dumb guy. Yeah. I assume she forgot her line and they were just like, whatever, just use it.
Yeah,
Also, slimy seal, what?
Slimy seal mania has entered that one twin.
Anyway.
Yeah, that could have been a like decent comeuppance for Steve's boner, but nope.
Yeah, no. So later, Brandon and Steve have a postmortem on his disaster date. Steve, by the way, wearing a transcendently hideous comic book blouse that I'm pretty sure we've seen him wear before, but you can see in the visual aids. Brandon promises that they will find Steve a woman by the end of summer, just in time for Brandon to stop Andrea to invite her to a do at the Walsh's. Andrea can't go because she has plans with Jay and Brandon. No, like, the meanest thing is that they make Peter Krause come back for this episode and then he's like down the boardwalk having no lines and just having to kiss Andrea, which is weird. But once again, in case you forgot, Brandon doesn't want Andrea, but apparently doesn't want anyone else to have her either. Classic Brandon. Moving on to our A story. Walsh versus Walsh's. Jim starts out the episode by ranting about Brenda in clip number 9.
Honey, I don't blame you. If anything, I blame myself. All those years, she was daddy's little bunny fish. Whatever Brenda want, Brenda got. Kisses and hugs. No questions asked. No wonder she has no respect for parental authority. She's out of control. Out of control.
No, Jim, she is in perfect control. And she has been ever since you decided to go to war with Dylan McKay.
Are you forgetting how many times she has blatantly lied to us in the last 6 weeks?
Of course not, but stomping around the house, threatening to use the full extent of the law, that's not going to bring our family back together again.
I just can't sit back and do nothing, knowing that she's shacked up with that guy.
Honey, I know how you feel. What do you propose we do about it? I mean, lock her in a chastity belt, keep her in her room until we're ready to become grandparents?
For starters.
Gross. Secondly, I don't really know where the whole, like, do you want to be right or do you want to be happy thing happens when it's a parent-child relationship. Because I feel like at a certain point they can just actually put their feet down. Yeah. But I don't know how that would work. I'm not a parent.
I don't either. And I think that, you know, like there are certain lines that you don't want to cross in theory. But in practice, like, file a missing persons report, pretend you don't know where she is, and when the cops track her down, then to hope that scares the shit out of her until she turns 18. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it depends on how seriously they want to take it, I guess. Like, they could just threaten to, I don't know, divorce her or something. Like, stop paying for her life, as they've been doing, because as we all know, she does not have jobs ever. Anyway, this is all immaterial because nothing like this happens, of course. Jim says he hasn't slept in 2 days. Cindy suggests that they hold out for another day or two and see what happens. And if that doesn't work, they will wring Brenda's neck. Sounds like a plan. Now, this is where I stop sticking up for Dylan, I have to say. At Dylan's, Brenda is vacuuming with her headphones in. Dylan is clearly irritated having her around, but is this the way to react in clip number 10?
Bren, I appreciate you cleaning up around here. I really do, but could you wait until I'm gone?
Bye!
What?
Fuck you!
Sure, wow. That's also when I'll call the locksmith, you twat.
Could you clean up my house when I'm gone? Sure, no problem. I mean, that's the first issue with the scene. The second is he's leaving and she's not invited, apparently. And he's just like, well, bye. And he doesn't tell her where she's going, which whatever. But at the same time, like, she doesn't have a car. So you're stranding her at your house all day and not inviting her to go and do whatever it is you're doing. Like, I get that you want your privacy and she imposed herself on you. But like, what is your problem? Ugh. Dylan.
I don't have that much of a problem with that. Like, if you invite yourself over, have plans, because I'm not entertaining you. I don't know.
I guess, but there's, you know, it's like, it's not like she's his friend's cousin or something. Like, they are supposed to be a couple still, but whatever.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
Anyway, she doesn't ask why she isn't invited, though I would. she asks this instead, clip number 11.
When do you think you'll be back?
Tonight. Don't worry about it.
I'm not worried. It's just that I don't know if you want me to fix dinner.
It's a little hard to start thinking about dinner when you haven't even had breakfast yet.
I'm sorry. Do you want me to fix you something? Some eggs, toast, cereal?
Bren, I'm not hungry, okay?
Suck mania is taking over.
It sucks.
It's out of control.
Oh, out of control.
Anyway, he apologizes, says he's grouchy in the mornings, and she says he would had better not just be saying that to make her feel better, but lets him mollify her. And then she dares to ask him to pick up some groceries, since it's not like she can go anywhere herself, stranded in the house all day without a car, as I already said. And he dares to act put out about it. Later, after some terrible banter with Andrea, Brandon finds Cindy making her way to the cabana. Jim is not, has sworn off the beach club that he's probably paying a lot of money for until things improve with Brenda. Brandon reiterates to Cindy that he's trying to stay out of it, but Cindy essentially asks him to go over to Dylan's and see how things are, and Brandon does not refuse. And at Dylan's later that night, things are terrible in clip 12.
You want to have this burrito, babe? It's really good.
I'm fine, thank you.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm not really into frozen lard and hydrogenated bean oil.
Did you or did you not tell me I could get anything I wanted?
I also said we desperately needed to do a load of laundry.
If you were so desperate, why didn't you go to the store?
In what car, Dylan? You were gone all day.
You should have walked.
You know, I would have walked, but you told me you were going.
I went!
Oh, and just forgot to get everything that we needed. Look, Dylan!
Listen, Brenda!
Living together is hard sometimes.
You know what's not that hard? Ringing the doorbell once and waiting for someone to get down there and answer it.
Brandon. things only get worse, as they always do, when Brandon shows up in the middle of this fight, which he must have totally heard through the door. Dylan very pointedly and resentfully goes out to get the laundry soap, as Brenda had requested, I have to say, hours earlier. Brenda just as resentfully offers Brandon something to eat, and later, Brandon narks to Cindy about what he just witnessed in clip 13.
So she's looking me straight in the eye, telling me how wonderful everything is, and I can tell she's lying through her teeth. But when I press her on it, she gets up and starts washing the dishes.
You say she and Dylan are fighting?
Well, not while I was there, but I could tell the vibes weren't so hot.
How do you know that? Without compromising your neutrality.
Put it to you this way, Dad. Dylan's sleeping by himself on the couch.
Thank God for small favors.
Well, did she ask how your father and I were doing?
No, not really. She said something about digging in her heels, but I think if you held out an olive branch, she might just come around.
And do what? Forgive us for all the terrible things we haven't done? Come on, Brandon. From what you're saying, to convince Brenda to come around will take a court injunction or a miracle worker.
I mean, again, with the sleeping on the couch, can we not? Can we just not talk about it, please?
Well, and without compromising your neutrality?
Yeah, that boat has sailed, I think.
You asked him to go over there.
Yeah. Also, throughout the scene, Jim is in, like, fully white pajamas, like, brushing his teeth in a file that I sent to Sarah titled Jim, The Guilty Gymnant. For fans of The Leftovers, you will enjoy that, I hope.
The Guilty Gymnant. I'm not sure he was even brushing. He was, like, massaging his gums with one of those orange pointy things.
That is the kind of thing that Jim would do, so I hope that you're right. I saw him holding something that looked like a toothbrush. So Brenda has just finished telling Kelly and Donna how great it is living with Dylan when we smash cut to the beach where Dylan tells Brandon that Brenda is driving him insane, as we obviously have seen. Brandon reiterates that he doesn't want to get in the middle of the fight. Clearly, we already know that is not true. And that increasingly obvious lie comes out in clip 15. 14.
It's one thing if you're putting down my old man, but it comes to my sister, I just don't want to hear it.
Oh, no, don't get me wrong, man. I mean, I love your sister, but was she always so into ironing everything?
Only when she gets depressed.
Oh, that's terrific.
Look at it this way. You could always just ship her home.
No, I can't, man. There's a major principle involved here.
What?
And what principle is that, Dylan? Misery loves company?
Also, there's the TV. Why are you ironing at all? What is your problem, Brenda?
Well, and again, I don't like agreeing with Brandon, but major principle?
Mm.
Like, you're not an interracial couple in 1961. Simmer all the way down to the basement.
Totally. Then we're watching Brenda stroll
into mania out of control.
Brenda strolls into the Walsh kitchen like nothing is wrong, but actually to try to pick a fight in clip 15.
Kelly said that you were at the beach club yesterday asking about me, so I just want to stop in and assure you that I'm alive and well. And despite our recent fallout with you guys, that everything's great and I'm very happy about my decision.
Shut up, Brenda.
But which decision is that?
To be with Dylan in the open. As a matter of fact, I'm happier than I've been in a long time. Probably my whole life.
Well, I'm glad you're happy.
I am.
I'm glad.
We heard.
It's not always easy, though.
No one cares.
Or what's not easy?
You know, life. Day-to-day routine. You know, the place looks the same. Feels different, though. I guess that's because I'm not here anymore.
It's been 3 days.
Seriously.
I can't stay, Mom. Not under his rules. Not until he can show me a little respect.
Respect is something you earn, Brenda.
Cindy Byrne.
Listen, before I forget, I got a couple of cassettes on how to speak French for Kelly and Donna.
Oh, just Donna. Kelly decided to stay in town with Jackie and baby Aaron for the summer.
Really?
Yeah, can you believe it? I mean, I'm sure the baby is cute and all, but if it were me, I would give anything to be able to study in Paris.
Well, I hope you know what you're doing with Dylan, honey. I'll just lock the door when you leave.
Where are you going?
The beach club. Have a nice day.
Cindy plays this exactly as she should. Instead
gangster.
Of like, yeah,
love
completely.
It.
I'm glad you're happy. Like, what else can you say? You know, like you're not taking the bait. And Brenda, you can tell, hates it.
Oh God, she's so mad that she's like, "Did you hear me? I'm happier than I've ever been in my life." Cindy's like,
"Great,
bye."
The only thing wrong with Cindy in this scene is her incredibly ugly blouse, which you can see in the visual lights.
Well, that's, you know. As with any day ending in a Y.
Indeed.
That is true.
Then Jim comes home and gets the story on Brenda's visit from Cindy in clip 16.
She was looking for a way to make peace, Jim.
How can you say that? Did she apologize? Did she express any concern for our feelings? Did she do anything other than insult you and announce that she will never live in this house under our rules again?
Fine. If all you want to do is escalate the battle, then by all means, call your lawyer friend and go on the attack. But if you have any interest in regaining the love and loyalty of the only daughter we're going to have in this lifetime, then I strongly suggest that you sit down and listen to what I have to say for a change.
I'm listening.
Hallelujah.
Seriously, the first time he has sought any input from Cindy since this started. Oh, we've heard him ask for Brandon's input, but none from Cindy until this moment.
Yeah, especially since that whole weirdness a couple episodes ago where she, like, writes a letter to Dylan. He tries to make peace with Jim, and Jim, like, apparently was not informed that this was the plan, which I think was probably Cindy's mistake there.
Yes.
That and the font.
Yes.
And, like, it's really obvious that your way isn't working. And despite the fact that, in my experience, this is not really how it fractures between fathers and daughters, okay, let's go along with that fiction. Like, right. Your way isn't working.
Yeah.
Ask the wife.
Yep.
Agreed. Not the son. Not him.
Never the son. Never, ever. So Dylan comes home from wherever he was to see Brenda sitting on the couch looking despondent, like she's been sitting there posed waiting for him to come home so that he could see her looking despondent in clip 17.
Was I supposed to bring home dinner?
I don't know. Were you?
Who cares, right?
I care.
Yeah, you do. You mean go to the market?
Dylan, I just want you to hold me.
No, go get dinner.
Yeah, seriously.
Anyway, so she asks what they're doing in the macro sense. He doesn't know, but they need to stop pretending they're married or else they're going to get divorced. Good point. Brenda tells Dylan about going to the house and how she got real fucking maudlin after Cindy left. Sitting in Jim's chair and wondering if the family would have been better off if they've never moved from Minnesota.
Oh.
But then she never would have met Dylan. They start kissing. And then he starts, like, messing up the magazines that she's organized because I guess he needs it to fuck. I'm not sure what the point of that was other than you're not the boss of me, Mom. Whatever.
I can't sleep with you tonight. All these architecture weeklies are watching me. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Anthropology weeklies.
Later, when they're enjoying some pizza and watching TV, Dylan gets a letter from the trustees. He's being ordered to a meeting at Jim's office the next day because Jim is considering freezing Dylan's money. So I guess Cindy's idea didn't work. Not sure. The next day, Dylan is getting ready to go to Jim's office, and Brenda and he discuss it in clip 18.
Well, here goes nothing.
No, here goes a lot. Look, Dylan, the fact that you're going to my father's office to stand up for what's right means more to me than you'll ever know.
Brenda, your father is my trustee. He sent me a summons. It's not like I have a choice.
Thank you.
But if you did have a choice, I know you'd be there for me.
Shifty.
In my notes, I have seriously, what is she even talking about? Like, I don't even think she has still kept track of what she's fighting about at this point.
Well, and she's also giving him that super needy tractor beam, I love you stare, which might be, and correct me if you think I'm wrong, I think this is the point at which Doherty had her teeth capped, and she's still having a little trouble operating her face. So sometimes, like, looks sad and stricken actually looks, you know, like, is sinus-y. So.
Yeah. Perhaps. And then we're at the meeting in Jim's office, which is not being attended or witnessed by anyone else and thus seems extremely sketchy from a legal standpoint to me, but I'm not a lawyer. And
also, neither is Jim, and why is this a situation, but whatever.
Well, we'll hear it, of course, and we hear how that goes in clip 19.
It's come to the attention of the trust that you are currently cohabitating with a minor, and you are aware that she is under 18. All right. As the officer sworn to protect and maintain the integrity of your estate, it is my obligation not to accept any conduct on your part which puts the estate at risk. And by harboring a minor, you are technically committing statutory rape.
Okay. Just calm it down.
Therefore, according to the terms of the trust,
the old stat rate,
I am left
switch.
With no choice but to impound any and all assets of the trust until you cease and desist in engaging in any activity which is not in the best interest of the trust.
Come on, man. You got a lot of other options instead of going after me. You just choose not to acknowledge them. It is not my fault that you can't communicate with your daughter.
You're right. It's not your fault. It's your problem.
Good line.
What was I supposed to do? She showed up on my doorstep. I didn't want her to move in. I knew it was a mistake. I knew it'd make you crazy. And the fact is, my place just isn't all that big.
Things are getting a little bit cramped over there, huh? Yeah,
that's what he just said,
yeah,
doofus.
Are.
All right, here's the deal. Brenda is going to be offered the chance to study in Paris this summer. If you don't stand in her way, but instead help Cindy and me to convince her that it's in her best interest to go, well, everyone's problem might just go away.
That's black.
We choose to think of it as creative parenting.
This is a very lighthearted way for the scene to end that started with an accusation of statutory rape, by the way.
Yeah, in so many words.
Yeah. Also, this whole blackmail thing, watching this back again, it seemed like the kind of thing where it's like, Brenda's going to find out about Dylan having made this, like, shady side deal with Jim and be furious about it. But then I guess it never really comes out and she has other things to be furious about anyway. So it's not really an issue.
Yeah, true.
You can also see in the visual aids a very unfortunate shot from over Luke Perry's shoulder where his hair and his forehead are so tall. His whole hair can't even fit in the frame. It's so tall. Anyway, Dylan comes home from this meeting. Brenda is stressed out that he didn't call in and tell her how it went. He just says he went for a drive to sort things out and then orders her basically to put on some particular red dress of hers because they're having dinner at her parents' house. She refuses and he overrules her. Okay, bad start. And then we see them on the Walsh doorstep where Brenda immediately makes it clear how things are going to be in clip 20.
Good timing. Just took the fish off the grill.
I'm not hungry.
Well, why don't you come in anyway?
Fine, as long as you both understand the only reason I'm here is because Dylan asked me.
It's nice to see you too, sweetie.
Brenda, can I speak to you for a minute, please? Look, I know you're angry, but could you please try not to say something you're going to regret later?
Fine, I won't say anything at all.
All right. Like, at this point.
Yeah. Like, now this is full brat mode. Also, can we talk about, like, you can see it in the visual aids, I'm sure, but Dylan being like, put on that red dress I like. We're going to your parents. And it's pretty booby.
It's extremely booby.
Like, it's a fuck me dress. Like, don't, no. Find a pinafore of some sort so that you and her father can team up to force her to go to France so you can fuck someone else. Spoiler.
Yeah, go rent that Bonnie, that Bonnie Parker Halloween costume again, because at least that covered everything. She also sure curled her hair a bunch for someone who was coming to this dinner under protest, but whatever.
And I don't know, summer in Los Angeles, is that the kind of effort you want to go to with long hair?
No.
Maybe I'm wrong.
No, you are. You're right. At dinner, Jim compliments the sauce as a setup for Cindy to talk
which
about.
Which looks like vomit.
It really looks gross. Yes. But it's a setup so that she can talk about her French cookbook. Brenda distractedly says that Cindy should give her cookbook to Donna. And Cindy suggests maybe she could just give it to Brenda. And then we find out why she says that in clip 21.
Do you have the envelope?
A round trip ticket to Paris.
Look, has your name on it. And I understand there's a lycée on the Rue des Jardins that is holding a place for you under the name of Kelly Taylor.
You're actually sending me to Paris?
Well, it gives us some breathing space and a way to start all over again when you get back.
And a clever way to keep me from Dylan.
Brenda.
That's what this is all about, isn't it? A bribe? A way
way to buy my love? God, this is so Beverly Hills. I can't believe I'm sitting in the same room with you.
Bren.
Have any other suggestions?
Shut up, Jim.
Ask Brandon, dickhead.
Seriously.
Also, she stormed upstairs in a house she refuses to live in. Okay.
Yeah, we later see her gathering like the last four things that she apparently forgot to pack when she fled in the night. But yeah, ridiculous. So in her room, Dylan tells Brenda to calm down. Bad start. She rants about how manipulative and arrogant her parents are. And he defends them because he agreed to, I guess, and says that she should accept the gift regardless of the motives behind it. And then Cindy comes to the door to say that the trip was actually her idea and not Jim's. That Jim, in fact, predicted that Brenda would react exactly the way that she just did. But Cindy doesn't want Brenda to make the same mistake that she did and explains what she means by that in clip 22.
Oh, come on, Mom. When you and Dad lived together before you got married, you guys managed to survive.
It's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about... Look. When I was in college, I was going to spend my junior year at the Sorbonne in Paris. And then I met your father, and I decided to stay in Minnesota. Well, and everyone thought I was a complete fool, but I insisted. I knew exactly what I was doing. I'd have plenty of time to travel after I graduated. And of course, 20 years later, I've never been to Paris or London or anywhere, really.
Except Beverly Hills.
What?
So are you saying I could still go to Paris if I wanted to?
Well... probably easier to send you to Paris than to keep you locked up in the basement for the rest of the summer.
Especially considering we don't have a basement.
That is a callback to an earlier basement non-having joke that was not funny the first time and not worth repeating.
Yeah, she has a line somewhere. Cindy has a line somewhere that she's like, look, whatever happens, you know, we're going to get through this. We really will. And I sort of love that perspective from her that she's always sort of like, you know, you're entitled to your drama, but it, like, her pointing out, like, this will end. Like, one way or the other, this hell will end is why Cindy is sometimes the best when she's not confined to putting casseroles on the table or making fish sauce that looks like cat food.
Yes, I agree. So Cindy leaves, and Brenda mopes that she doesn't know why things are so complicated, but Dylan says he thinks it's simple, that she gets on a plane and has the time of her life. But Brenda has concerns, foreshadowy ones, in clip 23.
What about us?
Us? Well, if our relationship can't stand 6 weeks without seeing each other, maybe your father's right. We don't belong together.
I don't get it.
Dylan comes downstairs. Jim exposes that Brenda has agreed to take the trip and says Dylan must have really Dylan must have really hated having Brenda live with him because he is not even a little bit hostile toward Jim in clip 23. Sorry, 24.
Got what you wanted.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. With Brenda, one learns to distinguish between what you want and what you get.
Can you say that again?
In any event, I think having her go to Paris might just be the best thing for all of us.
I think it's the best thing for Brenda. And that's why I went along with it and didn't tell her about the little chat in your office today.
I appreciate that.
In the future, I would appreciate it, regardless of what happens with me and Brenda, or you and Brenda. If you want something from me, you don't have to put a loaded gun to my head. Just ask me.
Okay.
See you around.
Take care of yourself, son.
Ooh, road trip, son. I mean, he's a tiny bit hostile, but like he's basically pretty straightforward and like, well, we got through this. Like fist bump, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't buy from Dylan. Like it's a little much that Dylan is being like, you didn't have to put a loaded gun to my head. Like, apparently he did.
Yeah.
And it did work.
His
point is taken, but it's sort of like, I don't know. Once again, it's moments like that that really make me feel like the two of them teaming up to try to, I don't know, assassinate Brandon on a weekly basis would have been a pretty awesome show.
Agreed.
Agents of Walsh.
Speaking of Brandon and how much he sucks, for like 2 seconds, I agree with Brandon, and then he ruins it again in clip 25.
So Brenda lies to my parents, throws temper tantrum, runs away to Dylan's house. And what does she get for her punishment? She gets to go spend the summer in Paris. What's wrong with this picture?
Well, it's a strange world, Brandon, and it's getting stranger every day.
Yeah, maybe I should just go get drunk and crash my car again. Better yet, get a couple of hookers and have a little orgy in front of Jim and Cindy.
You had me and then you lost me. It is kind of bullshit that Brenda's punishment for all of her fucking stupid months of drama is that she gets sent to Europe for the summer, but yeah.
I don't agree. He drove drunk, euphoria.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
I agree that she should get a job and that she shouldn't have been bribed with a trip to Paris, although, whatever, it worked and reasons of plot. But how many dollars has Jim sunk into that little bratling's car?
Yeah.
Many.
Yeah, you're right. And he doesn't really have any... Well, whatever. I mean, I feel like he's in a position to judge anyone since he was, like, not really a good sibling to her through all of this either. But anyway. later.
Yeah, when they were asking your advice, maybe that was the time to point out how hard done by you're being. Second dad.
Totally.
Eight.
Later the next day, Jim and his fun dad shirt try to make peace with Brenda. You can see the shirt in the visual aids. It's
do
such
not
a
taunt fun dad shirt.
It's such a fun dad shirt, you guys. It's not even tucked in. And he tries to make peace with Brenda in a weird and very guilt trippy way in clip 26.
You're going to be a senior next year. You're going to be going to college. Have your whole life ahead of you. It's no fun going through life without the love and support of your parents. Believe me, I know what that feels like. So when you're in Paris this summer, I would hope that you'll think long and hard about the kind of relationship you want to have with me and your mother and your brother.
Not him.
If I don't stop talking, I'm gonna miss the plane.
Well, first of all, what is the problem that Jim had with his parents? Because that's never come up before, but that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, I don't think we ever hear about it again, except maybe, I don't know, was it really rebellious to be an accountant in Jim's family?
Well, there's
reference... We're hippies, goddammit!
There's reference to when we hear about how Brandon's sticking up for the Peach Pit about the against the mall. There's a reference to, like, Jim was so proud of him, it reminded him of Grandpa. But then we do meet Jim's dad in the next season when they come for the big, like, 25th anniversary or whatever it is. And he doesn't seem like he's a pinko or, like, some kind of labor activist or anything when we meet him. And they all get along, so whatever. This seems like... someone had an idea of something and then they never pursued it. Anyway, I also don't get how this is like framed as Jim forgiving Brenda when it just comes back down to like, you're a real shithead. Maybe you should think about that while you're gone. Okay, bye. I mean, she is, but like that's a weird tone to take when she's about to get on a plane.
Yeah. Like if you're not about to threaten to take the trip away, then what's the point of taking this angle with it? I don't know.
It's a weird choice. But anyway, Brenda doesn't challenge him and thanks him for sending her and for giving her another chance. And then David and Donna are saying goodbye. Brandon needles Brenda about her charmed life, as it were. And then more foreshadowing in clip 27.
Don't fall in love over there, okay?
It goes for you, too.
I don't get it.
Brenda then gets into the van and sits behind Donna, weirdly. Donna is scared of flying because, of course, she is stuff. The gangsters.
There's also some super 90s, you know, I'll call you late at night when the rates change.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff. So I was right. Like, with your calling card.
Oh, just dial down the middle. Donna is scared of flying, as I said.
Ew.
Outside the van, as it pulls away, the gangsters all wave goodbye. And just in case we miss the other foreshadowing, there is more in clip 28.
Just think, Cal, you could have been on that van.
Yep.
I bet Jake's glad you're staying in town.
I don't know. We might get together sometime.
Oh, Kelly.
Hey, I might even get together with you.
Really? I might just hold you to that.
That's That's not all you'll be holding, and I'm talking about her boobs. And then Brenda's like staring like she's trying to light them both on fire out the back window of the van. Like,
yes, she's clearly getting a premonition of her horrible future. And you can see this in GIF form in the visual aids. And that is the episode.
Oh, and so it begins.
So it begins indeed. All right, let's wrap it up with the most valuable player of the episode. Cindy, she fixed everything.
Yeah, I'd like to give it to Rory slash Claire, but you dumb guy.
You stupid, you slimy seal. That was the other
yeah,
one.
Yeah, well, what? Don't do.
You are suboptimal.
Least valuable player. Brenda. Her antics are so exhausting to me.
Yeah, I mean, Steve, like, I almost ran outside and, like, waited for an SUV and then ran in front of it. Like, he really, Steve, like, sex tractor beam voice. Is just, plus, like, the mental image of the boner pushing the please? Flap.
Can sex tractor beam be a shirt that...
Please no.
Yes, it should. Oh. I overrule you. Yeah, I wonder if you're like particular. I don't mean to psychoanalyze you, but you know, you and Ian Ziering are both from New Jersey. Is it that his Jerseyness comes out in a particular way, or would that make it more endearing if he were more Jersey-ish?
That usually makes it more endearing. Like, you usually don't hear it, but there are certain like little teeny pronunciations, and also the fact that he does look like my very handsome and accomplished ex-boyfriend, also named Steve. Mm-hmm. Like when he smiles in a certain like wah, wah, way, yeah. Like I generally find Steve not charming exactly, but like
likable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. At least he's making an effort and is not Brandon, which is 92% of the battle at least.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's just, oh, let's do it. Blech, I can't.
There's that also said, the fact that
it's still Brenda who's the least valuable player, but I just wanted to go on record again as wanting to barf when Steve is trying to get it in. Okay.
Yeah, the difference to me, but like, I mean, if this is not me taking Brandon's side, but like, as a person who almost like 95% of the time was like such a rule follower as a teenager, I find Brenda especially irksome, and not in the way that Brandon does, because I also never did any of this stupid shit he did, like drive drunk, for instance, or go to a rave and get my drink dosed or whatever. So like he has no leg to stand on in terms of criticizing Brenda, but I feel like I do, because I was the good teenager that Brandon thinks he is.
Oh no, so was I. And I have never ever gotten away with anything in the history of being a child. Ever. Like I like watching her lie to her parents was like, that was me a million times, and talking about never fucking learning.
Yeah. No, every time I lied to my parents, I got caught. Every time.
I'd be like seven words into it, and Barb would like lower the temperature of the room like 58 degrees just by looking at me. And it was like, God damn it. She's way smarter than me. Why?
Yeah. All right. Well, moving on to the Kim Challenge.
Bad, bad, and dangerous to me.
5 ways in this episode that Dylan proves he is mad, bad, and dangerous to know. Okay, well, it's bad to ask your girlfriend who's cleaning up your house for you to do it after you leave.
Yeah,
dick.
It's also bad to bring home the dinner you want and not really bring enough for her, or at least call to see what she would like.
Yeah, in that scene, we also didn't comment on this. He's eating a burrito and she is eating nothing. She's just sitting there like waiting to yell at him. Not okay.
Yeah.
He's dangerous, I guess, in that he might actually get charged with stat rape, according to Jim.
According to Jim. Boo. That's what we should title this episode. Just kidding. He does manage to get her put on the plane, which could crash.
True. It's also not, I don't know that it's bad, but it's not great to kind of sell her out to her parents with this whole blackmail scheme that's, even though it's for the greater good of everyone, kind of a shady way to go about it on Jim's part particularly.
Yeah.
I have one.
Oh.
His association with Steve might mean that at any given moment, you may get sucked into Steve's sex tractor beam.
Stuntmania is out of control.
How can I even talk at all after that? Now that I've vomited myself inside out anyway. Thanks for listening to another episode of Again With This. Next time, Brandon gets jealous, Brenda eats brains, and Andrea something-something Republican convention. Who cares? You'll care about our visual aids, which you can see for this episode, and all the Again With This episodes at previously.tv. You can also follow us on Twitter at previouslytv. You can follow me at Tomato Nation. You can follow my esteemed co-host Tar Ariano at Tar Ariano, and our esteemed producer Dave at Glark on Instagram. See you next time.
Hi, you know what to do after the beeparoonie.